Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Erica and I love Miley Cyrus. She opened for Elon Musk, the eccentric multi-billionaire rocket launcher. He was self-deprecating and pretty funny.
I'd first like to share with you my vision for the future. I believe in a renewable energy future. I believe that humanity must become a multi-planetary space-faring civilization. Those seem like exciting goals, don't they? Now, I think if I just posted that on Twitter, I'd be fine. But I also write things like 69 days after 420, again, haha. I don't know, I thought it was funny. That's why I wrote haha at the end. Look, I know I sometimes say or post strange things, but that's just how my brain works. To anyone I've offended, I just want to say, I reinvented electric cars and I'm sending people to Mars in a rocket ship. Did you think I was also going to be a chill, normal dude?
I loved it. I have to say, I thought it was terrific. He was, as I mentioned, self-deprecating. It's the best way to do it. Make fun of yourself. I do all the time, not necessarily intentionally. But to have a dude as chill as he is, considering he is one of the wealthiest men on Earth, with Tesla, of course, his widely popular electric car. But more than that, he's like the vision, the technological guru, the visionary who's going to lead us to a new level of technological sophistication. He has a spacecraft. He wants to launch to Mars with people on board. He wants to start a Mars colony. He believes that an interstellar human race is the only way to survive over time. But what was so interesting, when you heard all of the flack about people who weren't going to work with Elon Musk because he's a capitalist and a ruthless businessman or this or that, or he's polluting the environment with his batteries. I don't know why. There's always something. Instead, the cast seemed very happy to be with him. If anything, jazzed and inspired and on their game. I thought that he was really funny. A lot of belly laughs. And if you haven't seen it, just look it up on YouTube or wherever it is. You can see those things happening. So Saturday Night Live always is a kind of the landmark program where you get a dose of relevance, but you get to laugh at all of the craziness that has happened in the week before. I really look forward to it when Saturday Night Live is in repeats. It's kind of a gloomy time because you just love to see the cutting edge. And they've been cutting edge forever. I'll tell you one quick story. I was due to be on Saturday Night Live years ago, me and Morton Downey. Remember Morton Downey? He was a daytime talk show host. So I didn't like going on with Morton Downey because I said to the producers, Lorne Michaels and the others at the show they call the franchise. I mean, Saturday Night Live is so important. NBC always dominates the ratings on Saturday night. The demographic, the young audience is very much to be envied by every other television program. And so when it's in repeats, it's a bummer. But I thought that the comedy, the wit, the action was really a lot of fun. Of course, it masks the grim news, the other news that always comes in a weekend, and particularly it seems in the last year or so, the body count. The level of violence. I've mentioned that I have Ring.com and Rhodes security here at the house, but what Ring.com particularly does is list gunshots fired on Lee Avenue or some other crime of violence that you should know about, cars jacked or this or that. So the crime tally that happens every weekend is kind of a melancholy wake-up call that, okay, you had your your weekend. You had Saturday Night Live. Maybe you had, you know, it was rainy, but maybe you got out with your family on Mother's Day, whatever it was. But then you come home, and the carnage is always so grimly spectacular that it's hard to fathom. It really is. I mean, Cleveland, which is one of the 10 most violent cities in America by every survey, is very, very slow on the statistics. And I believe they slow walk it. And I believe that was a characteristic, and it has been, of the Frank Jackson administration. He just doesn't want to admit what happened in the city. And eventually it comes out. But it's not as newsworthy because 2 weeks ago, three people were shot, whatever the hell it was. But Chicago is very good because the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Tribune, the two big newspapers in town, they have excellent contacts, sources within the police department, and they get the body count right after midnight on Sunday. So you know exactly that this weekend. So take a guess. It's as you're sitting there right now and you're here with safe and sound in Cleveland. It's a beautiful day, finally, after all the rain. I say, I wonder how many people were killed this weekend in Chicago. Five were shot dead in Chicago. Five were shot dead in Chicago. I haven't seen the names particularly, but I would bet whatever I have in my wallet and more that everybody involved was a black person, probably a black male, except for the bystanders who get shot in the process. Five dead in Chicago this weekend. So five dead. Five shot dead in Chicago this weekend. 40, at least, wounded. So five dead, 40 wounded. St. Louis, two dead, three wounded. Newark, we don't know how many have died. Four have been shot. Baltimore, three dead. One hurt in a shootout in a townhouse just outside Baltimore. Three dead. Phoenix at the Hyatt Hotel, one shot dead, seven wounded. What the hell was that? And Colorado Springs is the one that we've tracked that started early in the weekend. We thought six were dead at that birthday party where some grotesque sadist went into the birthday party in Colorado Springs, a beautiful, beautiful place, and shot up. We thought six were killed, when in fact it was seven who were killed. So the total, with not all cities reporting, is that this weekend, here in the United States of America, this weekend, nine mass shootings occurred. Just this weekend, nine mass shootings occurred. And what is a mass shooting? A mass shooting is four or more victims. So do you... you know, see what I'm talking about? Do you get the grasp of the scope of this violence? That there were nine shootings, at least, in America with four or more victims. Nine of them. Nine mass shootings in America. All right. So, I bet Colorado Springs is the exception. I would assume those were all a white shooter and all white victims. In Colorado Springs, all the more gritty urban areas, all African-American mostly.
Well, Geraldo, real quick, just through some, we don't have an official number, but just for just some research here throughout the reporting done over the weekend, looks like we've had two fatal shootings in town in Cleveland. One in Maple Heights, two men were killed, and then one in East Cleveland, which left one dead. So that's a total of three dead and two shootings.
I mean, folks... first of all, I don't know where to start. Where do you start when you have a situation where every single weekend, every single Monday morning, you can rest assured that you're going to be listening to Geraldo in Cleveland, and it's going to tell you everybody that got shot dead, or as many as we can find. And I appreciate Rob hustling. And if there were a place where all of these statistics were automatically required within 24 hours, it would be far worse. So where the hell are we? You want to defund the police? Really? You want to defund the police? You want to protest about George Floyd? Great. I appreciate that. I think that's very important. What about these other people that were shot by other people that look just like them? I mean, at some point, you've got to talk about guns. At some point, nobody likes to. I've got a gun. Almost everybody I know has at least one weapon. We don't go out to birthday parties and shoot them up and kill a half a dozen, seven people. What is that? What the hell is going on? Why is that? Where you have this violent crime with the largest uptick since 1960 relative to the year before. I mean, we really need, and I know the Republicans scurry from it because it like burns their ears, some discussion about gun training. Say, how about that one? This thing about ghost guns, excess capacity magazines, AR-15s. I mean, there's a lot between the First Amendment and having a gun in your home to protect yourself and having an arsenal and being able to go to a party and kill six, seven people. I mean, what the hell? Didn't any of those people know this guy? Were there any orders of protection or that kind of stuff? It is very, very depressing. And I don't know, once I mention it, I don't know where to go from there. Where do you go from there? What do I say now? What do I say knowing how virulently guns rights advocates would oppose any kind of restriction? For instance, shouldn't there be on every weapon a serial number that is associated with an owner, just like a car? I mean, there should be an absolute serial number. You put it in, Officer Krumpke puts it in his handheld computer, and that's Joe Smith. That's Joe Smith's 38. He purchased it in Fred's gun shop a couple of years. I mean, we should know that. I mean, here are the Republicans making all this fuss about voter ID. Good. There should be voter ID. And shame on some of these advocates for the poor who say they don't need ID. Everybody needs ID. How do you grow up in this world and not have ID? And if you don't have ID, there should be some municipal or county or statewide ID. So everybody should have an ID. We should know who everybody is. Right? So when they vote, we should know that they're real people. That's not like rocket science. And a gun, if a gun is used, there should be a serial number on it that can be traceable to an owner. And if it was stolen, then that owner better have reported that theft. My gun was stolen. As lame as that is, at least the authorities should know. But none of that now. I said, that's why the National Rifle Association, of which I was a longtime member, makes me sick. It really makes me want to puke. That all of these guns could be out there and being used for all of this river of blood. St. Louis, Chicago, Newark, Cleveland, Phoenix, now Colorado Springs, Baltimore, Memphis. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the Kentucky Derby. What the hell happened with the Kentucky Derby? You see that? I mean, did the legendary Bob Baffert, did he cheat? Did he? He cheated on the Kentucky Derby? You kidding me? Or did someone slip his horse a Mickey? I don't know who would get to be the expert on that one, but we'll talk about it. Dan in Wycliffe, what says you? What are you thinking about?
Hello, sir.
Hey, man. What's up?
We've spoken before. I served under Colonel Khan in Afghanistan, if you remember. But I was calling about what you're talking about with guns.
You served on the control. Remind us. I'm sorry. You missed it.
Colonel Asad Khan in Afghanistan.
Oh, right. We were together with the early days with the I thought the best Marine officer in the field, but a lot of things happen. But go ahead, Dan. What are you thinking about?
The gun control thing you were talking about, and I've watched you since I was a kid. I respect you. You got to know that most of the gun violence you're talking about here in Cleveland and these inner cities is illegal guns. These guys don't own legal guns. They're not ghost guns either. These are criminals. Like, I can't own a gun, okay? I got PTSD. I had addiction issues. I'm self-aware. I'm probably one of those guys that should not buy a gun legally. However, if I wanted to go to East Cleveland and get an AR-15 today, I could get one.
How would you go about that? Say you're looking for a potent weapon and you can't buy it legally. What would you do?
Well, I'd go down probably somewhere around 152nd Street, Superior, maybe East 128th Street.
But what do? You hang around the streets? You just look around?
No, you just talk to the right people. You go down there with money, you talk to the right people, somebody will get you in the right direction. You got to find somebody.
And so where would that AR-15 have come from?
God only knows. Like you said, it could have been stolen. Most likely, if it was stolen, it was definitely reported. Somebody stole my AR-15. You better damn well believe I would report it stolen. But these are stolen weapons. These are weapons that come from, they come up with weapons. They file the serial numbers off. These are gang members. These are thugs. These are drug dealers. They're not people that are coming across these things in the best manner. I mean, especially in East Cleveland and Chicago, places like that. Like Colorado Springs, I can't describe what happened there.
Birthday
it's so
party.
Fresh. But yeah, it's well over in the 90th percentile of people using illegal guns for gun violence. I mean, they did these statistics in the prisons to find this out. I mean, obviously, once in a while you have.
So you think it's hopeless? There's no way to control guns?
Not in the way that they're describing. Not at all, no. I mean, getting rid of the guns that you can build.
How about stop and frisk?
I agree with.
How about stop and frisk?
I mean, but what did they deem that? They deemed the racist, right?
Oh, what did they game? Yeah, they game the yes.
Yeah, they said you can't stop and frisk people because it's racially profiling, apparently.
Right.
Because of where they do it is a majority of what? Minorities, correct?
Right.
So if everything that's deemed racist today is what? Canceled, correct? They don't do it. It's too controversial. I mean, getting rid of guns that you can build without a serial number, I agree. Background checks, I agree. However, with your background checks, what if you have somebody that has mild depression, mild anxiety, goes to a shrink, sees somebody, and boom, they're flagged. Like me, I should be flagged. Okay, I have PTSD. I've had violence issues, right?
Well, do me a favor. Dan, don't buy any more guns. Don't buy.
Oh, no,
just,
no, I can't.
Just cool your jets.
Legally.
Take it easy. Get the therapy you need. No. Now we're invested in you, so stay healthy.
Yeah,
Bashir Jones, an excellent councilman, running for mayor, friend of ours, on the line. Thank you, councilman, for calling us. Why don't you start? If you are lucky enough to be elected to lead the city of Cleveland, what would you do about the this tide of blood flowing in the streets, devastating and killing so many, particularly minority men, who deprived the family by their demise of a breadwinner. You know, it's such a melancholy story. What would Bashir Jones do if elected mayor?
Well first, I truly always appreciate, my friend, you allowing me to come onto the show and speak to your audience.
No, we like you.
Really,
we appreciate you.
Really appreciate it. I really do appreciate it, man. Well, you know, I think it's a holistic approach. You know, COVID has really had an impact on us in more ways than one. Not only in regards to our health, but also has impacted our communities in ways. A lot of this violence that we're seeing an increase in violence that we haven't seen in years. Being away from family, like having to stay away from the human touch. These things have an impact. So,
I don't mean to interrupt you, Bashir, but do you have any idea why you have this surge in violence not seen since 1960?
You know, I think you cannot throw away the impact of the human touch and not being able to be around one another. And then finally getting out. And then you also have this surge.
So you're blaming it on COVID?
I'm not blaming it on COVID. What I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that the power of the human touch is really important, and being away from one another has had an impact. Also, the flow of money that has flowed into communities that the communities haven't seen in a while. You know, you've had communities that decide to stay home and receive unemployment instead of going off to work, right? So there wasn't a lack of money. So there's money there. But at the end of the day, we have to figure out a way to be more proactive. So violence is a symptom of a greater issue. So we have to figure out what that greater
issue is. So tomorrow's your first day as mayor. What would you do?
You know, first day as mayor, I think the first thing we have to do is fix City Hall. City Hall has to be a place that people can do business. It has to be a place where customer service is a priority. And we have to become a city that is focused on hearing from everyone, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. No matter what side of the aisle that you're on, everybody is welcome. We have to look at how do we become and assist our police officers and our firemen who are living in dilapidated firehouses, while at the same time, how do we create an alternative first responder system where when you call 911, we can start sending out mental health experts and we can start sending out social workers who can deal with these issues. Because, listen, we're dealing with some serious social emotional issues, and sometimes our officers may be unprepared to deal with it. So we have a lot we have to do, but we can do it quickly, man. Cleveland is not the mistake on the lake. It's the greatest location in the nation.
Oh, I moved here. I love it. But, Bashir, you know, we deeply care for you. You know that we're fans of yours. You're up against, you know, all of the candidates aren't announced yet. You'll probably have a dozen of them. Two, you got, what's his name, Rob? Kelly is the council
Kevin president? Kelly, yes.
And Dennis Kucinich, of course, the former mayor, the former boy mayor and congressman. So, Bashir, what are your odds?
Better question.
Should the city be led by a black man or a black individual?
Well, I think the city should be led with a person who has consciousness. I don't think it matters if you're black or white or a man or a woman. It matters if you have love for the city. Do you care about the east side? Do you care about the west side? I think that we haven't been listening to the voices of the west side or the voices of the east side, for that matter. I think that there's different issues all across the city. We have to be willing to hear it. I think that the power is with the people, and I think that the people are tired of the direction that the city has been going in, and anything that resembles what we've had, the people are going to go against that. And I believe that we have a shot. And I just want to tell my friends on the west side, I'm going to be coming over there. You know, people know me well on the east side, but the west side, I want you to know I'm coming to your communities. I want to hear your concerns. I want to hear your thoughts. And I want you to know that within me, you will have a mayor that will listen, that will hear your concerns, and that will act.
Good luck to you. And don't be a stranger.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay. Bashir
Jones.
I won't.
Thank you.
Councilman Jones, thank you. You know, I want this forum here, this program, I want everyone to feel as he did, as Bashir did this morning, spontaneously to call us. That's great. If you're running, you know, we have Chantel Brown, who is a very, very impressive candidate running tomorrow. And she's not running tomorrow. She's running every day for the Congress, congressional seat vacated by Marsha Fudge, who went on to be Secretary of, housing?
Yeah, HUD Secretary. Yes.
Right. Chantel Brown, who was the head of the Democratic Party in Cuyahoga, she'll be coming on, a very, very impressive lady. And I've seen Nina Turner on the air a lot lately, Bernie Sanders' spokeslady. She's also running for that same seat. So that's going to be quite a race, and we will have all the candidates, Chantel starting tomorrow, all the candidates have access to our open mic. I promise, speaking of that, I will continue to evolve my grand scheme of involving my boat and the Harbor Inn and a trip to raise money for autism. I don't know exactly what form it will take, but I know it will happen on May 28th. So as we get closer to it, keep your ear tuned right here. Holly in South Euclid, what are you thinking about today?
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, I have two things. Number one, I wanted to show that the Cleveland Clinic has done such a beautiful job with the east side of 105 area.
I agree.
I mean,
it's lovely. It looks like it looks like MIT. It looks like a major complex, academic hospital complex.
Proud.
It is. I am very proud of it.
And why can't the other corporations, Sherwin-Williams, the Cliffs, Lubrizol, do that with the east side?
I'm with you. It's a great idea. Maybe if the mayor was more active, you know, you could be more of a cheerleader, could rally the big businesses that are here. Sherwin-Williams sounds like one that I think they need a new downtown headquarters. The other one has had some problems, as I recall. But that would be a great idea. What the Cleveland Clinic has done is magnificent. It is a world-class facility. It looks like a world-class university slash hospital, teaching hospital. I love it. I love it, and I love what it's done to that whole University Circle area all the way down to 105. It's been terrific. In Lakewood, Bill's on the line. What are you thinking about, Bill?
Their powers are being taken away from them. That's why their police are retiring. They're not joining.
Are you afraid to drive around your community?
Well, I wrote down Mayfly because I'm safe, and I got a reduction in my property tax.
Oh, is that right? So you appealed on the basis of criminality in the neighborhood, and they reduced your property tax?
Yep.
I guess that's the one silver lining to the extent that it's relevant. I'd rather you were safe than had the lower property tax. But Michael, what do you think should be done?
Well, I think the mayor should and the governor should give the police back some of their power that they took away.
Give me one power you'd like the cops to have back.
Well, I remember when I was a kid on Buckeye Road, I would say the police would say, "Stop or I'll shoot." And a criminal would stop because they knew the cop would shoot them because they didn't stop.
Yeah, they don't stop and I'll shoot. Stop or I'll shoot anymore. But, Michael, thank you. Holly in South Euclid, what are you thinking about today?
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, I have two things. Number one, I wanted to show that the Cleveland Clinic has done such a beautiful job with the east side of 105 area.
I agree.
I mean,
it's lovely.
Gorgeous.
It looks like it looks like MIT. It looks like a major
exactly.
complex, academic
and we should
hospital
be
very complex.
Proud.
It is. I am very proud of it.
And why can't the other corporations, Sherwin-Williams, the Cliffs, Lubrizol, do that with the east side?
I'm with you. It's a great idea. Maybe if the mayor was more active, you know, you could be more of a cheerleader, could rally the big businesses that are here. Sherwin-Williams sounds like one that I think they need a new downtown headquarters. The other one has had some problems, as I recall. But that would be a great idea. What the Cleveland Clinic has done is magnificent. It is a world-class facility. It looks like a world-class university slash hospital, teaching hospital. I love it. I love it, and I love what it's done to that whole University Circle area all the way down to 105. It's been terrific. In Lakewood, Bill's on the line. What are you thinking about, Bill?
Hi, Ronaldo. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good. What's up?
So I agree with that guy I called about 15 minutes ago about guns. He said that 90% of the shootings are done by criminals and gang members with unregistered
I think that guns. I think it is a very high percentage. You're absolutely right. And you think that all those guns have the serial numbers erased?
I don't know.
So what was your question?
So what should we do about all these criminals and gang members?
What do we do? Maybe gun buybacks. We used to do gun buybacks in New York. And, you know, you have a big, you know, dumpster and no questions asked. Someone comes with a rifle, you give them $100. Someone comes with a handgun, you give them $200 or whatever it is. That is money well spent. And then those guns then go into a big vat where they get melted into molten steel or something that they use for fencing. I don't know. I'm making it up, but I would like a gun buyback. Wouldn't that make sense, Rob? I mean, have a gun buyback where the city actually buys. If you've got a gun, you're worried about how to get rid of it. You're afraid to, just put it in the garbage can. You're afraid to leave it in your house because someone will use it and you'll get blamed for whatever crime they commit with it. Why not big, large industrial scale gun buybacks? If guns are the problem, let's get them off the street.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think especially, too, with Grandpa Joe's stimulus check running out for everybody pretty soon, they could probably use the money, too. So kill two birds, one stone, and I don't mind the idea at all.
All right, we have two agenda items.
Yes.
The Harbor Inn cruise and the gun buyback.
Yes.
We'll talk more about it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate it. Have a good day.